Wow, thank you for being here today. Okay, so just a little bit about the nonprofit that I run in Seattle. Oh, first of all, nothing to disclose. Again, our mission statement, we are a nonprofit, and basically we've been teaching about social determinants of health and health inequity since about 2004. And our goal is really to not only teach the social determinants of health and the root causes of health, but also then to teach people the skills to take action on those issues. And so today I'm going to talk about our framework and then why we developed this racism curriculum. And I can tell you a little bit about the development of it and then about our 11 lesson plans that we developed. So everyone knows what the social determinants of health are. I just wanted to say that we use the Dahlgren and Whitehead model just because it's the easiest model to understand from to start teaching when we teach people about the social determinants of health. And then everyone now accepts the fact that there is a call to action to teach the social determinants of health. Obviously, it started, or not obviously, but it started at the WHO level. But now we're beginning to see it even in places like the National Association of Community Health Centers, where they're having a call to action to start employing social determinants of health in their training. The case for teaching the social determinants of health, as Dr. Jenkins said yesterday, societal factors are at least 60% of what contributes to health, and we need to stop blaming the victim on why they have bad health. So our pedagogy comes from Donald Nutbeam, and it starts with this concept of three levels of health literacy. So in the United States today, we really only teach functional and interactive health literacy. So functional literacy is when we transmit some information about, let's say, sexually transmitted diseases, and we expect you with that new information to then change and not have unsafe sex. And interactive literacy is the ability to talk about a social problem. Let's say if you're pregnant, you know, to be able to go talk about your pregnancy and maybe go to Planned Parenthood for some counseling if that's what you want. But the one thing that isn't taught in the United States, it is taught in a few places but not very many places, is critical health literacy. And that's understanding the social determinants of health and being able to take action on them, having the skills to take action on them at a community level and at an individual level. So our pedagogy, we use a framework which we start with the metaphorical tree and we start with the roots of knowledge. So we start by teaching the social determinants of health and then health is a human right. And then the leaves and the branches of the tree are what we call the compass. So we teach, you know, what is activism or advocacy. We unpack the word activism for a lot of people who have negative connotations about the word activism. We try to find participants' passion in health so that they can take action on whatever their passion is around health. We then start teaching the skills about how to take action. So it depends on what the action is that people want to take under our pedagogy, then we'll teach a specific skill. So it might be facilitation, it might be teaching, it might be a community project, it might be an action letter, it totally depends. And then taking the fruit from the tree, the participants then go and take action in the community. So we've been teaching now since 2004, and we've been teaching in secondary schools, universities, health centers, health departments, and we've been doing promotor advising as well. And these are just some examples of our students, you know, just taking teaching the action skills to take action, so community action project, action letters. I thought I took that out. Oops. Okay. So this is just an example of, I was fortunate enough, I'm also an environmental consultant, and so I work with low-income minority communities on environmental justice issues, so I was able to develop a curriculum using our pedagogy to develop an environmental justice curriculum in South Park, which is a low-income minority community south of Seattle, and it's bordering the Lower Duwamish Superfund site, which is one of the biggest Superfund sites in the country. It's 5 miles long. But to talk about our action, they wanted the students not only wanted to do a graffiti cover-up and litter cleanup campaign, but we actually, in order to take action, we actually asked them to talk about what is the relationship between gangs and graffiti so that they were taking an action more upstream. The Environmental Justice Youth Corps, these were the groups. It was a 100-hour course that we taught And what happened when I was teaching the Environmental Justice Youth Corps was that racism kept on coming up, and it was always implicitly discussed in our curriculum back in 2008 when we had this, and we kept on saying, but they were explicitly asking for more information about how racism affects health. So we applied to the Poverty Race Research Action Council for some funding to develop racism health curriculum. And so most importantly, so here's our Dahlgren and Whitehead social determinants of health model, but what we did was we borrowed from Kamara Jones, who is our personal heroine, and and we added racism, classism, and sexism to the outside of the model, and this is called the social determinants of health equity. Okay, so we piloted the curriculum, and the first thing we did was we developed 11 lesson plans, and I was fortunate enough to have three interns. I had two interns from CMAR Community Health Centers, which is a Latino health center, and then I also had a master's in public health student who wrote his thesis with me on how racism affects health. And so what we were never able to pilot all 11 lesson plans, but we piloted pieces of all 11 all over the state. And but we piloted the most of it at Seattle Girls School, which is a school in a low-income minority community in Seattle. So lesson one, what is health advocacy? So this is the Just Health Action Advocacy Continuum, and we just use the continuum to talk to students, participants, about how to take action. So we're really trying to push people beyond the service paradigm. And using homelessness as an example, you know, you can give money to as an individual to change homelessness, or as a service, you could work in a homelessness shelter, but we're trying to get our participants to be way more active and to address structures of society. Why does homelessness exist? Okay, so then lesson two is what is health and what are health inequalities anyway? So depending on who our group was and what their cognitive level was, we either had them do readings or we did interactive exercises on the evidence. Okay, I am not going to talk about the evidence today, but if you want, we actually reviewed about 100 papers in order to develop this curriculum, and Stephen Bezrichko over here is going to talk about the biology of inequality in a few minutes, so he can talk more about how racism affects health in a more complete way. So lesson three, what is race anyway? So we watch California Newsreel's The Power of Illusion documentary. So that everyone is on the same note about how race is a social construct. And then we use Kamara Jones' The Gardener's Tale, Three Levels of Racism, to talk to people about how racism is manifested in health. And then we use cortisol and the stress mechanism to really talk about how racism affects health. And then lesson six, what we're really focusing on, and it had a lot to do with John Wong, my intern there on the left, who wrote his thesis with us, is we really wanted to work on the most recent data that has come out about how racism has affected health. So we watched Unnatural Causes, When the Bow Breaks, and then we did In Utero and Early Life Course Health and the relationship between racism and just health. So lesson seven, what does biology teach us about where we can help? And so we looked at the life course, and we used a lot of Collins and David's work. They look at preterm birth in blacks versus in African-born blacks, U.S.-born blacks, and versus whites. Then lesson eight, should we take action? So borrowing from Michael Marmot and the causes of the causes, we do what we call causes of the causes diagramming. And if you are interested in that, it's on our website. But here's just an example of some of participants on why is there racism in schools? Why is racism seen as a political agenda in healthcare? So what we're trying to do with the causes of the causes is to make them look upstream from the disease paradigm all the way up to the upstream. You know, what about society causes bad health? And then lesson nine, again, we borrow from Kamara Jones, taking action, the cliff analogy. And here is where we ask, what are some upstream activist ideas you have to move people away from the cliff, to take people away from the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff and move them away from the cliff altogether? And then lesson nine continued, where do we take action on the river? And so what we do is, depending on depending on what the causes of the causes is, we'll have a downstream cause, and then we'll say, okay, from this downstream cause, what kind of action would you take? For this upstream cause, what kind of action would you take? So the more upstream they go, the more likely they are to take action on huge policies. Like, for example, this one is confront corporate global exploitation. And this was on the causes of the causes diagram that they had drawn before was racial profiling and police brutality. So lesson 10 is the action plan. And this is some of my students at Seattle Girls School and some things that they were working on regarding racism. And then final lesson plan 11 is just how you make change. So we really do a reflection exercise at the end on advocacy life mapping and how they want to make change based on what they learned. And so let's see. We just got published in the Poverty Race Research Action Council newsletter. So if you want to go to that, you can just read. It's just a small page on how racism is embodied, and it was our work at Seattle Girls School. And I also have a much longer article with all the references if anyone is interested in seeing that larger article. Apparently, PRAC is going to publish it later in the year. And then one thing that we're doing, I don't know if anyone's interested here, but if you are, you can sign up for it. But we're starting to do train the trainer in Seattle, teaching our health equity and social determinants of health curriculum, mostly because teaching this curriculum has been really hard for people. They've been finding that they just don't know enough about the literature in order to start teaching how racism affects health. So we've been toying with the idea if people are interested in doing a train the trainer. So sign up if you're interested. And that's it. Thank you.